How many of you heard the term blood moon? There's a lot of talk about blood moons. Matter of fact, if you Google up blood moons, you'll see about 500,000 hits. DVDs are being produced about blood moons. YouTube's full of the subject of blood moons. Radio, television, it's all in the news, the blood moons. Now, before you shut me out, I'm not talking about fiction. I'm talking about fact. You know that NASA, not preacher, NASA has affirmed and confirmed there will be a series of blood moons coming up this year and next year. It's called Tetrad. Four blood moons will appear April the 15th, 2014, October the 8th, 2014. NASA has revealed this. Next year, April the 4th, 2015, another blood moon. And then finally, September the 28th, 2015. What do you think about this blood moon? I want to preach today on the subject of when the moon turns blood red. When the moon turns blood red. Now, these are professionals that tell us this is going to indeed happen. I believe it certainly will happen. Well, the question is, what kind of biblical implications do we have in regards to blood moons? Does the Bible speak on this issue? Can I share with you several goals and what God birthed on my heart today? Before you leave, I hope and pray that we'll have a better biblical understanding of what the Scriptures teach about a blood moon. And then we'll use this as a bridge to talk with others about their relationship with the Lord Jesus. A witnessing opportunity. A conversation piece, if you will. And then there's those of us that are here that maybe are feeling insecure or wondering, can you really trust God in these days where so much negativism is all around us? I'm praying God will birth in your heart, my heart, faith and trust in Him in spite of what all is going on around us in our world and in this nation and in our families. And furthermore, I'm asking the Lord to help you and to help me to be obedient what God is telling you to do today in the light of the accuracy of the Word of God. What is it that God wants you to do today? What is it God's been dealing with you about today? What is it that you've been putting off? What is it that you need to let go? What is it that you need to do today to recommit your life to the Lord and reclaim the ground? How many of you the devil been after you lately? Well, I'll tell you, last night I tossed and turned, and I know the enemy sure didn't want this message to be preached, and I had an encounter with the enemy, but thank God he's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you something. Speaking of professionalism, on a lighter note, Sister Betty Phillips had surgery last week at Piedmont Hospital. It was on Wednesday. I was there at the hospital, and she was scheduled to go out at about 10 o'clock or in the morning. They were going to come and get her and put this pacemaker in. Well, 11 o'clock rolled around, 12 o'clock rolled around, 1 o'clock rolled around, 2 o'clock, how many know what I'm talking about? At the hospital, you don't get up and wait. 3 o'clock rolled around, finally about 3:30, they came in, rolled in the stretcher, and of course everybody knows how Sister Betty is, she's kind of laid back, if you know what I'm talking about, in many regards. They rolled in the stretcher, and they were asking all these questions, and then they came to the question, they said, are you allergic to anything? She looked at them and said, yep, y'all. I'm allergic to y'all. By the way, y'all is a southern term, if you're wondering. And then when they began to describe how they were going to do this surgery and how they were going to go in with the leads and put this pacemaker and how it would operate and function once they put it in, they asked her, they said, do you have any questions after explaining it for about 5 minutes? And she said, yeah, I got one question. I said, what? She said, why, what took y'all so long to get here? Hello. It's all right to smile, friend. It might do you some good to smile, all right? When the blood covers the moon, or the blood, that is, the moon turns blood red. Here's where we're going in the message. But before I share with you where we're going in the message, I want you to hear me. There are two warnings I want to give you up front. Two warnings concerning the blood moons. Number one, the first warning is this, that you procrastinate and put off what God is telling you to do. Don't you wait for those blood moons, April the 15th and October, and in October as well. Don't wait for the blood moons to appear before you do what God's telling you to do. And then not only that, but number two, hey, listen to me. There's a warning about date setting. No one knows the hour when the Son of Man comes. So mark it down. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of debate as to, are these blood moons going to actually usher in the coming of the Lord? Well, you be the judge of that. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God lets us know crystal clear that no one knows the hour. So no one's setting a date for Jesus to come again. But I do believe this is later than it's ever been. You better get ready. Hey, listen to me, whether he comes or not. I thought about it again this morning. Y'all listen to me. Today might be your last day on planet Earth. I've said that before, and it's happened before. I'm telling you, we had better do what we do for the Lord now. Here's where we're going. Three phases, what God birthed in my heart concerning this message. Let me just back up and say, one of our men asked me about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Pastor, what do you think about the blood moons? And sitting at the table, began to share with him what the Scripture teaches about the blood moons. I want to know what the Bible says, not what somebody wrote about it, not a book about it, not some novel about it, not what others are saying about it. I want to know what the Scripture says. Can I get an amen? That's what we need to know, is what does the Bible say? Three phases. Here they are. Number one, before the moon turns blood. Here's the three phases we're going to travel today. Number one, before the moon turns blood red. Secondly, when the moon turns blood red. And third, after the moon turns blood red. You got them? Have you written those down? All right. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Joel. First, when, that is, before the moon turns blood red. Now, some of you maybe not have heard a lot about this. Some of you may be wondering about some of this. Some of you, I'm trusting God will help you to be able again to rightly divide the word of truth. In the book of Joel, chapter 1, first of all, let's turn to Joel 1. 3, here we're going to find before the moon turns blood red. And two questions that come out of this first heading, and it's this, namely, number one, when is the moon going to turn blood red? And then, how should we respond? Where else is this found in Scripture? Those are two questions. You ready for them? If you are, say amen. I'm telling y'all, listen to me, look up here. This is going to happen in April. And you're going to hear more about it. And if you don't listen today, and if you don't pay attention today, and if you don't take notes today, and if you don't stay on top of this, you're going to miss out on an opportunity to witness to your family, to witness to your neighbors, to witness to your friends, and know what's going on from a Christian perspective. God wants to teach us something today. God wants to impart to us His wisdom, and God wants to build us up in the faith. We don't have to be ignorant about these things. These are biblical events that will indeed take place. Number one, first, when is the moon going to turn blood red? I'm reading from the book of Joel. If you would stand with me in the book of Joel, chapter 1. As you stand together, we're going to turn to a lot of passages of Scripture. How many brought your Bible? Let me see your Bible. You need to keep your Bible open. You need to have notes with you. It's going to be hard to get all of this. You might want to get the tape, and I'm not trying to promote myself, although anyway, I'm just telling you, this is the Word of God. Number one, now listen, as we get in the background of the book of Joel, I must say this before we read. We're just going to take excerpts from Scripture. We'll try to stay true to the text. We'll try to stay within the context of what this book is all about. But listen, we're going to look at a lot of different passages of Scriptures, Lord willing, this morning, or at least several, all right? So keep your Bibles open. Be ready to turn real fast, because it's going to be hard to keep up. In the book of Joel, chapter number one, who is Joel? Joel is a minor prophet. Joel is writing mainly to the northern kingdom of Israel. You recall at that time that in the days of Sodom, the kingdom was divided. The year was about 931. The northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. Joel is primarily writing to the northern kingdom of Israel. Listen to me. It just so happens at that time, a northern empire called the Syrians had begun to dominate the world, all right? So, here in the book of Joel, there is a double, what we call a double prophecy that's listed. Here's what I want you to remember. Historically and prophetically or futuristically, if you miss this, you just miss what we're fixing to talk about. In the book of Joel, here's what I'm trying to say. Joel is talking about an event that has already taken place. And Joel, at the same time, as we progress through the Scriptures in chapter 2, is talking about an event that will happen in the future. All right? So there's an event that's already taken place. We're going to read about it. And then, at the same time, there is this prophetic, futuristic passage in the book of Joel, chapter 2, in regards to blood moons. All right, having said that, we begin in the book of Joel, chapter 1. Now, wait a minute. Before you read with me, I want you to pay attention to a certain phrase in the Scripture. And we're going to say it over and over again, and I hope you'll write it down and do a little investigation for yourself. Are you ready for to read the text? If you are, say amen. You see, in verse 6 of the book of Joel, we find out there's a nation. Look at this. For a nation, Joel's warning the northern kingdom of Israel about God sending a foreign nation to come and to overtake. And in fact, that did happen in 722 B.C. Joel's warning them, and yet God fulfilled his word. How many believe the word of God is accurate? How many believe that you can trust the Word of God? Listen to me. It has been fulfilled in the past. It will be fulfilled in the future. And the Word of God is being fulfilled in the present. Can I get somebody to say amen? Man. Hey, listen. We ought to know what God's up to these days. Yes, we ought to. Because He's given us the revelation of His Word. Joel chapter 1, look at verse 6. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. If you kept reading in the book of Joel chapter 1, you'll find out again, I'm repeating myself, a nation, namely the Assyrians, were coming to invade Israel. It did happen. It's already happened. It's a done deal. Historically, it's done. However, if you would look at verse number 13 following, Joel's crying out to the people, like we need prophets today and preachers today and men of God today and women of God today, telling America, hey, watch out. By the way, I do not think that America is Israel. No, absolutely not. But there are some parallels how God dealt with the nation of Israel in regards how God deals with nations. Israel is God's covenant people, not America, Israel. We are Christians, we are believers, as we say. But verse 13 and 14, Joel's crying out for the people to repent and to get with God and sanctify, fast, and call a solemn assembly. Look at verse number 15. Verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord. Let's say that together. The day of the Lord. Say it again. The day of the Lord. One more time. The day of the Lord. Write down that phrase. That is an important phrase when you start studying Bible prophecy. The day of the Lord. What does that mean? The day of the Lord. We'll talk about it in a moment. Father, I ask now in the name of Jesus, help us to be ready. Good ground. Oh God, give us hearts that are receptive to the infallible, inerrant word. Lord, you want to speak to us today. God, give us ears and hearts and wills that are absolutely, totally surrendered to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit of God. Your Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Paraclete. God, I thank you now for what you're going to do. We expect you, God, I expect you to change lives. Lord, I expect you, Father, for your glory, Lord, to equip, to train, to build up, to disciple the body of Christ, that we might be more effective in our witness, that we might, Father, have a passion to see the Word of God carry on, and that sinners will be brought to Jesus, and Father, the church might be a bright light in this dark world of ours. Oh God, we need heaven's help. We need a mighty touch from heaven today. I need fresh oil today. I thank you, Jesus, for your and I pray now that you'll, Lord, again zero in on us. Help us to obey you, God. All the strongholds of the devil, we pray you'll crush them, break them down, set us free. Every generational sin, all the procrastination, all the excuses, all the lies, all the alibis that are keeping us from running the race and fighting the good fight of faith. We praise you now and bless you. Victory is always in Jesus. And we love you, Lord, because of your great love for us. Thank you, God, what you're going to do this day. We praise you. Bless you for those that are here. We just commit it to you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Four blood moons. Four blood moons. When the moon turns, blood red. When the moon turns, blood red. Have you got this phrase down? Have you got this phrase down? When the moon turns, blood red. And then do you have this term down? The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. This is NASA's facts, not coming out of some Baptist church, all right? Four blood moons. Mark it down. Now, before you get too intrigued with the caption over there, I want to go a little deeper. Number one, when are these blood moons supposed to occur? Well, I need to clarify, but if you would, turn to Joel chapter 2, all right? Joel chapter 2, and notice in Joel 2, again, double references, double prophecies, that which has already been fulfilled in the near time, and then those prophecies that are meant to be futuristic. For example, those of you that are doubting, for example, Antiochus Epiphanes was a real individual that indeed did defile the temple in the book of Daniel. That has already historically been fulfilled. No question, no doubt, documented, etc., etc. However, at the same time, there's a double prophecy fulfillment in the fact that the Antichrist futuristically will go in the temple and will defile the temple. Jesus referred to the abomination of desolation. Daniel spoke of it in the book of Daniel chapter 11. All I'm saying is this. When you read the Bible, it's important that you understand the whole Bible as a whole book. All right, in the book of Joel chapter 2, in the book of Joel chapter 2, notice in chapter 2, Joel again is crying out to God. For the sake of time, I want you to please skip down to verse number 28, the verse 28 in the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show wonders. Notice verse 30. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned. Notice verse 31. Underline it, mark it somehow or another. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into what? Blood. I'm telling you, the Bible has a basis for these blood moons. And the moon shall be turned into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. The day of the Lord. You see that in verse 31? The day of the Lord come. The day of the Lord come. The day of the Lord. Let's say it together. The day of the Lord. Say it again. The day of the Lord. One more time. The day of the Lord. Why am I getting you to repeat it? Because if you miss that, you're going to miss the basis of what we're building upon this morning as the day of the Lord. That is in regards to the blood moons. And the question is proposed, when is this going to occur? When is this going to happen? I've already mentioned and alluded to the fact in chapter 1, it's already happened, the day of the Lord, that is the invasion of the nations. However, here in Joel chapter number 2, look at verse 31 one more time. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Look at verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Isn't that good news? Amen, Pastor. That's great news. Glory be to God. Wait a minute. Number one, when is this going to take place historically and futuristically? Question, what is this phrase, day of the Lord? How will you define day of the Lord? Where do you find this in other scriptures, the day of the Lord? If you miss this, you've missed the whole essence of these blood moons from a biblical perspective. The day of the Lord, others have defined it. The Lord led me to do some research and research a lot of different, and different opinion about the day of the Lord. Most, it is a time where God intervenes in the affairs of humans on the earth personally. I say times, any time when God intervenes in behalf, in the affairs of men on the earth. But a further definition for the day of the Lord. You're going to see it in a moment clearly. Well, when is Joel talking about? Has this already been fulfilled, the day of the Lord? Let me say this. There are two ways to define the day of the Lord. Two ways. Are you ready for them? Two ways. Are you ready for them? If you are, say amen. There's a general sense of the word day of the Lord, and there's a specific sense of the word day of the Lord. You got it? Generally speaking and specifically speaking. Now, if you miss this, you're going to miss it. You go, what are he talking about? General and specific. Number one, general sense. What does the day of the Lord mean, generally speaking? It means, by according to most scholars, and I personally agree as well, it's 1,007 years. The day of the Lord, generally speaking, is 1,007. You say, where you come up 1,000? Revelation chapter 20. Jesus will indeed sit on a throne. How many believe that Jesus will literally sit on a throne in the millennial reign? I do not take that figuratively. I do not take that allegorically. I believe, like the scripture says, Jesus will indeed come and he will sit on his throne, and the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He's going to reign forever and forever until every enemy be made his footstool, because he is meant to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 20? God's going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. God's going to fulfill the Davidic covenant. God's going to fulfill the land covenant. God's going to fulfill the new covenant. All during what we call the kingdom reign of Christ, futuristically. Remember, day of the Lord refers to 1,007 years. Well, where'd I get the 7 years? 1,007 years. The 7 years of the tribulation. Where did I get that from? Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Daniel 9, 27. Daniel said, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, in the context of Daniel 9, he's referring to the end time. God had me to preach on it a few months ago. But in Daniel 9, he says he will confirm, he being the Antichrist, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Who is he? The Antichrist. He will confirm. The word confirm is the word Gebar. G-E-B-A-R. It means strengthen. Bottom line is this. The Antichrist will confirm a covenant with the Jewish people. According to Daniel 20, chapter 9 and verse number 27. He'll confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The word week, remember, we talked about it. Shabuah. It's 7 years. In the context of Daniel 9, is crystal clear that Daniel is reading from the book. Daniel's reading from Jeremiah the prophet. And you can do the study on it. Point is this, 1,007 years, the day of the Lord in a general sense. However, in a specific sense, when is this day of the Lord? I wish I had time to deal with this all in one message. More than likely, I won't have time. But the day of the Lord, in a specific sense, is when Christ comes again in His second coming, not in the rapture. I believe personally there is an absolute difference in the rapture, the glorious appearing of our God versus His coming in glory and power. Why do I believe that? Number one, because He comes back for the saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 following. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those of us that remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. However, there's a distinct difference in an event when Jesus comes back in Revelation 19 and in Zechariah chapter 14. It's not going to be a time of comfort. It's not going to be a time of joy. Rather, it's going to be a time of war. It's going to be a time of judgment when Christ comes again after the tribulation. Differences. Why do I know that? Because again, you can check it out for yourself. I will not labor that anymore other than say this. That the day of the Lord is when Christ comes back, not the rapture, but in His second coming in glory and power. And you're going to see it in a moment. All right? You'll see it in a moment. Amen and glory. And so, the day of the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Where else is this mentioned in Scripture? Where else is this term, the day of the Lord? When the moon shall be turned into blood. Blood moons. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, turn there, please. For years I was uncertain, and I don't claim to understand all there is to understand about this, but I have come to some conclusions in my own heart in regards to the day of the Lord and in regards to this day of Pentecost. You'll notice we read back over there in Joel chapter 2 that the moon is going to turn blood, and there are going to be cataclysmic, catastrophic events in the heavens. But look at Acts chapter 2. Here is the birthday of the church. Here is where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon those hungry and thirsty believers. Peter stands up. He's preaching. Actually, he is quoting from the book of Joel, what we just read. He's making reference. Pick up in verse number 14. And by the way, when you read this, keep in mind, look at all the times he says, Israel, Israel, Jews. He's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to Israel. That is important. You recognize that? In chapter 2, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, notice he lifted up his voice. People say, preacher, why you get so loud? Peter lifted up his voice. Loud. All right? It's in the Bible. Hello, I ran across that yesterday and I said, glory to God. It's biblical, amen. Peter lifted up his voice. That means he got loud. Somebody says, preacher, you preach too loud. Or you preach, I don't care, it doesn't matter. Hey, you get loud at ball games, can I get a witness and hoop and holler over your favorite team? Why can't we hoop and holler over Jesus? Come on, somebody needs to say amen. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, look at this. And he says, you men, verse 14, you men of Judea, that's Israel, that's Israel, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken my words, for these are not drunken. That is, when the Spirit of God was poured out upon them, others thought they were intoxicated. Seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that day. This is the sort of thing Joel was talking about. This is that day, verse 16, which was spoken by Joel the prophet. And then it'll come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Remember, we read that in Joel 2? How many remember that? Don't miss it. And then, look, verse 18. And all my servants and all my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show, watch this. Note verse 19. I believe this was no doubt a partial fulfillment of the book of Joel. Joel said the birthday of the church would come, but this is not my personal opinion, the total fulfillment of the book of Joel. Why? Because if you check out on the day of Pentecost, you'll notice these signs in the sky did not happen. Zilch. They didn't happen. What signs in the sky? I'm fixing to read them. Joel mentioned them. Now Peter's going to reference them again. Look at verse number 19. I will show wonders in heaven above.
and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Look at verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into what? Blood. Is there such thing as blood moons? Is it mentioned in the Bible? When's this going to take place? Wait a minute, keep reading. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. Look at that. The day of the Lord. You see that in verse 20? If you do, say amen. The day of the Lord. 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 Well, when is this day of the Lord? What is he talking about? We just described the day of the Lord by definition. Now keep reading. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse 22. You men of Israel. That's important. I don't have time to get into all that right now, but simply say, Peter is preaching and addressing Israel. All right, question. Did the moon turn to blood back then on the day of Pentecost? No records of it. Zero. Well, what's that tell you? Does that tell you it's going to happen in the future? Hey, yes, sir, it does. Yes, ma'am, it does. When's that going to take place? I'm glad you ask. And here's important. We rightly divide the word of truth. There's books out. There's tapes out. I mentioned to you two warnings in the beginning. One is start date setting. Absolutely not. Two is procrastinate what God's telling you to do. Now, the day of the Lord. All right, let's hasten to quickly go to the second phase. When, that is, the moon turns blood red. Phase one is before the moon turns blood red. We read that in Joel chapter 2. We read that in Acts chapter 2. I do not believe with all my heart this was not fulfilled at the day of Pentecost. There's no records of it, no documentation of it. Therefore, one must conclude it will happen in the future. Why is that important? Because there are those who tell us today it was totally fulfilled. And there's people that believe that. And they believe that they're living in the days of Joel right now. But if you really rightly divide the word of truth, you can see it didn't happen. Can I get an amen? Y'all with me so far? Literally, historically, grammatically, it didn't happen. It hadn't happened. All right? Wait a minute. Not all of it, that is. Number two, the second phase is when will the moon turn blood red? When will the moon turn blood red? Hold your place there in the book of Joel chapter 2, and I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 24. It's called the Olivet Discourse. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, you'll note that the Lord Jesus mentioned this. And as you turn to Matthew chapter 24, let me just simply try to, for the sake of time, set the context of Matthew 24. Jesus has got his disciples. They're asking about the end time. When will we know the time is near? Now, for a long time, hear me. For a long time, I kind of thought this was a reference to the rapture of the church. It's not, technically speaking. It's not, and I'll show you why. You can tell it's not. The rapture of the church is the next event, the imminent event that's going to take place on God's calendar. I do not believe any blood moons or anything else or have to occur before Jesus comes again. It's absolutely, and I'll share with you about some more statistics about that. But in Matthew chapter 24, this was in the context of the great tribulation, the tribulation era. How do I know that? Where did I get that? Look at verse 15. He says, when therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken about Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. He's talking about when the temple's defiled. That's going to take place after the rapture. Hello? The Antichrist will emerge. And this defilement, you read things in context. Don't grab a verse taken out of context is a pretext, as the old saying says. And so, keep reading. He's talking about the signs, false prophets. He's talking about earthquakes. He's talking about wars and rumors of war. Certainly, these are signs that will lead up to the return of Jesus and the rapture, the glorious appearing. But that's really, technically speaking, not the context of Matthew 24 and the Olivet Discourse. these are certainly signs that are leading up to his return. But again, how do I know that? Keep reading. Look at this. Verse number, you be the judge. Hello, you be the judge. Verse number 29. Immediately. Now keep in mind, he's been talking about what events are going to take place before the sign of his coming. Which coming is he talking about? He's talking about the coming and glory and power. Not the rapture, but in the revelation. His second coming. All right? And you'll see that clearly. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Could that be a reference to the blood moons? We'll find out in a moment. There's other scriptures that seem to verify. Time together. Don't lose what we're talking about here. Scripture explains scripture. We compare scripture with scripture. You agree? Say amen. Ah, yes we do. Look at, continue reading. Verse 30. Well, I'm sorry I hadn't finished verse 29. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Look at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of who? The Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All right. What are the scriptures? We're in phase two. Not only before the moon turns blood red, but when the moon turns blood red. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Here's a parallel to Matthew 24. John's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. By the way, this was 30, 40 years after Jesus is telling his disciples this. John pens these words, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And here's what he says is going to take place. Now let me just back up before we jump into Revelation 6 to set the context. Remember in chapter 1, John sees Jesus, the glorified Christ, and he falls like a dead man. Remember in chapter 2, really chapter 1, there's a key to outline the book of Revelation. You ready for it? Here it is. Write the things which thou seen, write the things which are, and write the things which shall be hereafter. That's what he's telling John. And John does that. He writes the things which he's seen, namely the living Christ, the glorified Christ, not hanging on a cross anymore. Hallelujah. And then he writes to the seven churches, chapter 2 and chapter 3. But in chapter 4, if you remember not long ago, we talked about John writes this. After these things, the word after these things, I'm just covering this as quick as I can. Chapter 4, verse 1, after these things. Metatota is the word, after these things. Chapter 4 comes after chapter 3, correct? Y'all help me out now. Chapter 4 comes after chapter 3. Well, what's in chapter 3? Jesus is writing through John to the seven churches. Chapter 2, the seven churches. And so chronologically speaking, chapter 3 is before chapter 4. And what's in chapter 4? John says, after this, I saw a door, an open door in heaven. Behold, I heard a voice, a trumpet speaking to me, as it were a voice of a trumpet speaking to me. That's apocalyptic literature. We've talked about that before. A trumpet doesn't speak, but if you look at other references in the scripture, it explains what that trumpet is all about, namely the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, namely 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the trump of God will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, etc., etc. But wait a minute, I'm just setting the stage for chapter 4. Immediately, John says, I was caught up in the Spirit, and I saw thrones. He's talking about the rapture of the church, all right? What happens after the rapture of the church? The tribulation. Chapter 6. Are you in chapter 6? If you are, say amen. All right, chapter 6. In chapter 6, here is the opening of these seven seals. The first seals, the white horse rider, bow in his hand, crown on his head. The Antichrist, the deceiver, The crown, by the way, is Stephanos, not diadem. Not only that, but it's very obvious this white horse rider is the Antichrist. Then comes the blood red horse. That is the war and kill. And then the tar black horse. And then the chloros pale green horse is that of death. And so the seals are being opened up. God's raining down his judgment. The day of the Lord is a time of judgment. Hello. Look at chapter 6, verse 12. When is this going to take place, chapter 6? Somebody tell me. During the tribulation. Hello? Tribulation, okay? How do I know that? But look what he says. After these seals begin to be opened and the martyrs crying out for God's vengeance. By the way, those martyrs are tribulation believers, not Christians, we'd say. They're believers, yes. And so that can mix us up, all right? Chapter 6, verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as... When is this going to happen? When are these moons going to turn blood red? Tribulation, very good. Y'all see it? You see it? You see it? You see it? All right. Now, over the last 500 years, do you know how many blood moons we've had? Over the last 500 years, I repeat, do you know how many blood moons we've had? Three. NASA has put this information out. Not pastor, not some Baptist preacher or book that we read. NASA, hello? And by the way, if you want to check it out, check it out. First, 1493, 1494. Well, what was happening in 1493, 1494? The Jews were expelled from Spain. Let me just back up a moment. Are you ready for this? I know it's a lot at one time, but guess what's going to happen? In the midst of these blood moons, guess what's going to happen in between? These are spread out 6 months apart. Guess what's going to happen in between these? A total solar eclipse. Not only will there be a lunar eclipse, but in between those, there will be a solar eclipse. The Talmud, which is the Jewish traditional book, states this. Anytime, hear me, I'm telling you, I'm quoting from the Talmud, I'm paraphrasing. Anytime there's a lunar eclipse, blood moons, the Jews have suffered or something significant happened to them. I'm just telling you what's going on. I'm not making any predictions. However, anytime solar eclipse, the sun happens, God sends his judgment on the world somewhere or another. 1493, Jews expelled from Spain. What else happened in 1493, not 1494? I know y'all can remember, y'all were living during that time. Hello. Columbus discovered America. What's the next event? NASA has verified. Not only then, but how about 1949, 1950? What happened then? 1948, Israel became a nation. Another blood moon, 1949, 1950. And guess what? The third blood moon found and documented over the last 500 years, 1968. Check it out on the computer. 1968, 1969. What happened in 1967? The Six-Day War. How many remember the Six-Day War? Wow. Guess when the next blood moon are going to occur? Tetrad 4, 2015. 9 weeks and 2 days, I believe, from today. God is in control. God is in control. April the 15th, 2014, a blood moon will occur according to NASA. Guess what day that's on? Are you ready for this? You remember the Jewish feast we studied a few weeks ago? The feast of Passover. That's when this blood moon's going to occur. The feast of Passover. After the Feast of Passover, there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there's the Feast of First Fruits. After the Feast of First Fruits, there's the Feast of Pentecost. After the Feast of Pentecost, there's the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. And then after the Feast of Trumpets is the Day of Atonement. After the Day of Atonement is the, you ready for this? The Feast of Tabernacles called Sukkot. Say that with me. Sukkot. Say it again. Sukkot. That is a description of the Feast of Tabernacles. Guess when the next blood moon, you can see it? October the 8th. Guess what day that's going to be on? Blood moon number 2 in 2014. Guess what day that's on? The Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot. That was a time when the Jewish people had to build these huts. For 7 days they lived remembering how God brought them and delivered them out of Egypt into the promised land. And watch this, their hatched roofs and their huts, they made them so they could see and look up in the sky. Isn't it interesting? A blood moon is going to happen on the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacle. Furthermore, isn't it interesting? In 2015, what day is another blood moon? April the 4th, 2015. Guess what day that's on? Passover. Jewish Passover. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I don't know what you're wondering right now. But I want you to know God is real. The Word of God is accurate. We can trust it. We might not be able to trust this in the government and our stocks and bonds. We may not be able to trust our neighbor across the road. But praise God, we can trust the Word of God. God is a mighty God. All right. Guess what the last tetrad blood moon is going to occur September 28, 2015. Guess what Jewish feast that's going to be on? Feast of Tabernacle, Sukkot. Same feast as in 2014. Wait a minute. Are you serious? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. What are you saying here? I'm saying this. Now let me say something. Before my time goes, let me say something. And I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you all this is information. John Hagee has written a book on the blood moons. I've not read it. I've not heard him preach on the blood moons. I know people have asked me about it. They've asked me, have you read the blood moon book? Have you read this? Have you heard this preacher? No, I hadn't. I've done some personal research on it. And from the scripture, this has been burning my heart for several months. The day of the Lord, that concept, waiting for God's timing to share with you the message from a biblical standpoint. Now listen. So we're told, and I can't verify this, but I've read, and so we're told, a man by the name of Mark Biltz is the first individual that did a study, wait a minute, back in 2008, he did a study, went back to NASA's website, found out these blood moons, Mark Biltz, B-I-L-T-Z, and it said that Hagee got the information from him. Here's what we calculate. Get your mathematic calculations. You ready? 2008. And it was brought out during that time about these blood moons coming out in 2014, 2015. Somebody calculate from 2008 plus 7. What year you got? 2015. Why did I say 7? There was some concept about Jesus coming again during 2008. Y'all hear me? Look at me. No man knows the hour. But there's a lot of books that sell. There's a lot of tapes that sell. And there's a lot of sensationalism when stuff like this is brought out. And Jesus is coming back 2015 on April the 4th, da-da-da-da-da. No man knows the hour. But wait a minute, there's another danger. The other danger is for persons to procrastinate, put off getting right with God until those events. We got to be ready. Jesus said, be also ready, for you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. Now, some of you may be listening today, and you walk out today and say, oh, well, it happened back there in the past, nothing big deal. Hey, man, you better take a note. You better get your house in order, whether the Lord comes back or not. I don't know. All I'm saying is this. The Bible is true, and the Bible will be fulfilled. Amen. And glory be to God. Last but not least, and I've got to close, and it's this. Not only before the moon turns blood red, when the moon turns blood red, but after the moon turns blood red. What's the case? What's going to happen? Peter uses a phrase, and we don't have time to look at it. Just trust me and write it down. Look it up in it later. Peter says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. In the context of 2 Peter, by the way, Peter's writing in the context of the second coming of Christ. He says that many, watch this, many will say, where, scoffers, where is the promise of his coming? All you preachers and all you Christians, y'all always talk about the coming of Jesus. Where is the coming of Jesus? Peter says that's going to be a crowd out there making fun of the coming of Jesus. Peter makes it clear. And maybe somebody's sitting here today saying, preacher, you get all excited about all this stuff. It's in the Bible, folks. Hey, wait a minute. Peter says, but the day of the Lord, let's sit together. The day of the Lord, one more time. The day of the Lord. We read that in Joel. We read that in Acts. We've read that in Revelation, the blood moons. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Well, when's that going to take place? That's going to take place after the Lord comes in glory and power. This earth is, how many know this earth is going up in smoke? John said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. Hey, that's why you better not hang on your treasures too quick, too much here on earth. They're going up in smoke. You better give what you give. You better do it now. God says, this whole, I believe the Bible. And he says, the earth is going to, and then he says, seeing that these things come to pass, what manner of person ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening to the coming of the Son of God. The second coming of Christ's message ought to change us in everyday living. God, to God be the glory. Just finished a book, writing a book. I shared with you all, had to write a book. Thank God. I hadn't finished it totally, but finished the rough draft. And Lord willing, be getting it in print. To God be the glory. And in this book, the Lord birthed in my heart, the message of the second coming of Christ ought to change Christians in everyday living. You believe that? It's not just pie in the sky mess. It's holiness. It's living righteously. It's taking a cross knowing our King is coming. Our Lord is coming. When I say King, I mean the millennial reign. He's coming, the bridegroom to the bride, the church. And then if you want to find one other reference to the day of the Lord, it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 following. After chapter 4 of Thessalonians, when the rapture is explained, Jesus descending from heaven, then Paul says, but the day of the Lord, he says, but of the times and the seasons. Chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. But the times and the season. The word but is the word periday, which means he goes a little bit deeper in the subject of the rapture and the second coming of Christ. But the time to the season, brethren, you have no need that I write in you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord. After these blood moons, what is going to take place? I want to close by saying this. Some of you need to get right. Some of you better do what God tells you to do. I'm telling you. The Bible says these things are going to take place. What should our response be? Number one. I hope today you have a better understanding of what the blood moons are all about. Do you? Do you? I gave you scripture. You can get the tape. You can study it yourself. Look it up. Study it. Compare it. And God will use it in your life. Number two, may God use this as a witness to share and tell others about this coming Lord. Watch this. You mark it down. When this gets closer, April the 15th, people are going to be wondering. People are going to be talking about it. People are going to be asking about it. Aren't you glad you'll have some ammunition to talk with them about? Hallelujah. It's part of my responsibility. Equip the saints. Number three, what you do for the Lord, do it now. Do it now. Whether Jesus comes back or not, and he is, I don't know when. I know this time's running out. How many times running out? Some of our precious people have been taken to the Lord recently. I'm telling you, we need to wake up. I'm telling you, we need to be busy about the master. I'm telling you, we need to be stirred up. That's what Peter said. I want to stir up your mind. It's easy to get at ease in Zion. It's easy to get complacent. It's easy to just get wrapped up in things going on in our government, the Olympics, and all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with those things, but We need to be ready. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Will you be obedient to what God's telling you to do today? Let's stand together, can we? Let's stand together, can we?